Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. You know, those are the very stark ideals of Jesus. It's very simple, very stark, very clear. So in the last chapter, Jesus had sent forth the 12. Now he chooses 70 others. He appoints them also to go two by two. Before his face, I mean, as he's coming into the cities, he sends them out two by two, going two at a time. You know, the harvest is truly great. There are many people out there ready to hear the gospel. There are many people out there ready to receive the kingdom. The kingdom of God is preached and all men press into it. It's like a grain of a mustard seed. It's a very small thing, but planted in the earth, it becomes a great tree. It has an unnatural growth. It becomes a place for birds to lodge in. You know, birds like cardinals and birds like bishops. And not that there isn't a place in the church for someone overseeing. From among them that oversee the church come also those that would destroy it. As the Apostle Paul warned, it's from among the leadership of the church that men will begin to corrupt things. I think a lot of that comes from this idea of them being on top and the others being on the bottom. As the leadership forgets that they are servants and begin to seek ways that they might be served. And therefore everything in the organization begins to serve their interest. I don't think Jesus or the Apostle Paul or any of the apostles intended to create this universal organization or even something as broad as a denomination. They were the apostles, and in each church they had leaders. And it wasn't like this centralized authoritarian type thing. No, they didn't all answer to Jerusalem. They didn't all answer to Rome. They didn't all answer to any particular city. And within the city there'd be a church in one house and a church in another. And when people get together in these situations, there has to be some sort of order. We need to have some sort of order. And you look at Christ, he's servant of all, but he is leading. So there's a place for leadership. There's a place for leadership, and there's a place for delegated authority. Other pretenders arise, and they draw away disciples after them. That is also according to the word of God. But we are not as them that pervert the word of God. We are not as them as handle the word of God deceitfully. So how does one tell? You can't tell unless God gives you the wisdom to see the difference. You know, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. I mean, what a stark idea that is. You are lambs among wolves. Lambs? Not even rams. We're talking lambs. Baby lambs. This is how we come. You know, as Jesus says, be harmless as doves, but wise as serpents. We come forth with the foolishness of preaching, which means simply that by merely declaring these things, declaring the truth, we sift through people who are able to hear the truth and who are able not to hear the truth. They were not there to fight for the kingdom, but to merely to preach it, to merely declare what was coming, to just no purse, no script, no shoes. Don't say, hey, old Joe. They were to be on a mission. They were to go and do exactly as he instructed. They weren't to take preparations, taking, you know, as in the other passage, two garments. They're not carrying a sword. And if there's any doubt, as I said on many occasions, people look at things like this and say, well, why don't we do this today? Why don't we do this today? You know, as if we should replicate everything that Jesus did. He selected 70 men to do the specific purpose. He did not say this is something, an ordinance forever. Look in Luke 22, verse 35, and I can't hold off in this sense. He says, when I sent you out with purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, no, nothing. And he said unto him, but now, see, now the times have changed, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. There are times in which circumstances change, and then these kind of commands, sell all you have, don't take anything with you, don't prepare for anything, become void. Sell what you have and get a sword. If you've got a purse, take it. I firmly believe that there'll be a time when I'm going to walk away from my computer. I'm going to walk away from my all the instruments of my ministry. But at this point, my ministry is buy a computer, upgrade a computer, get a camera, get a microphone, buy a guitar. Because that's what God's given to me at this time. But we are readying our hearts always to walk away from it. Always being ready for a call like this. What if when he calls you, you're like in the last chapter, the last few verses, well, I got to do this first. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. He says, you know, when you come to a place, say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, you know, if you find peace, what is the Son of Peace? Does he mean himself? Like in spirit, perhaps? But perhaps he means that the dwellers there are peaceable and receptive. And I suppose that would be the same thing, because God had made their hearts receptive. And the Messiah is sort of gone before them and prepared the way for them. If he is there, your peace shall rest on that house. If not, your peace will come back to you. And I'm sure this is something that they, as they went through this, they understood very well what was going on. And you can see this when you talk to people, when you say things to people. You can tell when peace has gone forth. You know, if I walk up to someone's door and I say, peace to this house.